All right, Alexander, let's just get into it. We have to discuss the Bob Linsky interview with Tucker Carlson. I think Tucker Carlson did a really good job in getting some interesting information out of Bob Linsky, some very good high-level facts out of him, and some interesting details as to what he was involved in with the Bidens and the other business associates who we'll name real soon, the people involved in all of this. I think that Tucker Carlson also did a really good job in introducing the American people and the world to Tony Bob Linsky and these business dealings with this Chinese energy company. Because I think a lot of people may not have known what was going on. They may have known the name Bob Linsky and the Bidens, but I think Tucker Carlson did a really good job of presenting a picture as to why this is important and why all of this matters. Now, there are some details here that I think we need to drill down and get into, because it's really important to discuss what was going on here. And I think we need to take a step back and first of all name the people that were involved in this. And from the U.S. side, there was a company called Sinohawk. And that was a company that Tony Bob Linsky was CEO of. And in Sinohawk, the people that were involved were Tony Bob Linsky, you had Hunter Biden, you had Jim Biden, Joe Biden's brother, you had Rod Walker, who I'll describe as the Biden family consigliere, because we are talking about the Biden family, and that's how they refer to themselves as well. And you had this UK citizen, James Gilliar. So these are the people on the Sinohawk side. And they're looking to strike a deal with this company in China, this energy company called CFC, but it's CEFC. And on that side, you had this character known as Chairman Yi, who was heading up this company. And this guy's a mysterious character as well. We'll get into him. Now, Hunter Biden realized about a month as they were putting this deal together, Sinohawk and CFC, that they would run into all kinds of trouble with the FARA acts. In other words, that they didn't want the government to investigate what they were doing, or they wanted to at least make it more difficult for the government to get wind of what they were up to with the Chinese, because it's pretty clear that Hunter realized that with CFC, they were going to be one step away from the Chinese government dealing with CFC. So they started working on creating holding companies, various other LLCs. The one LLC that they wanted to create, that they did create, a month after Hunter Biden notified Tony Bob Linsky and the other partners, was this company called Oneida Holdings. And they created Oneida on May 22nd, 2017. In Oneida Holdings, they had five people as partners in Oneida Holdings, and they all had a 20% split in the equity. So the cap table were the five people that I mentioned at the beginning of the program: Gilliar, Walker, Jim Biden, Hunter Biden, Bob Linsky, all split at 20%. Now, one of the messages, one of the most explosive messages that Bob Linsky presented to us was that in one of the texts, Hunter said that he would carve out a 10% equity stake for the big guy. And everyone was speculating the big guy must be Joe Biden. Now, in the cap table, the initial cap table, Jim Biden had a 10% stake. And in the final cap table, he was bumped up to a 20% stake. So Bob Linsky made the claim that it was Jim Biden who went from 10 to 20 that in the end was going to hold the big guy's 10%, who was later referred to, they were later referring to Joe Biden as the chairman. So you had two chairmen. You had Chairman Yi for CFC, and then you had chairman acting as Joe Biden in this new holding company, Oneida Holdings, who would, from what I'm guessing, be invested in Sinohawk Holdings. It's also important to point out that when you look at the cap table of Oneida Holdings, you're not really seeing people's names. You're seeing another LLC. So in other words, Hunter Biden's 20% was represented by another shell company, and Jim Biden's 20% was represented by another shell company. So you had five shell companies equal shares in Oneida Holdings. And in back of those shell companies were the five individuals involved in what is ultimately Sinohawk. So, Alexander, I've given a big picture view, but also a detailed view of the business that was taking place. I think it's important to outline in the very beginning the people that are involved in this and how the companies were looking to deal with each other. A lot of shell companies, I don't want to say it's not uncommon, but when you start to create three or four levels of shell companies, then you can understand that there's some, you know, fishy business going on. And we also have information from Hunter Biden where he is concerned about the FARA acts and stuff like this. So that's the first segment of this video. Alexander, what do you make of everything?
Yes, I've been following all this very carefully. And I just wanted to say before we even begin that the first point to make about this video, this program between Tucker Carlson and Bublinski is that, of course, it introduced us to Bublinski. And we all got an idea of the kind of person that he is. Now, we all have to make our assessments. I found him completely credible and entirely convincing. He's apparently a registered Democrat. He's apparently somebody with a military record in the US military. I believe he was a Marine. He is somebody who seems to be completely patriotic. I believe him entirely. And the idea that he was involved or has been implicated in some kind of Russian disinformation exercise is ridiculous. And he quite rightly and properly made that. So I think this was a good opportunity for the American people to see Bublinski for themselves and to get a view of him and to understand the kind of person he is and to understand that this is not a Russian disinformation campaign. Now, let us come to this extremely complex and intricate structure which you have described. Now, we have both been involved in various business activities. And I mean, I've looked at this from a legal angle. I've seen the kind of very complicated structures that can be created in complex transactions. The thing that stands out for me in this one is that the purpose of all of these shell companies seems to be specifically to conceal the identities of the parties. Now, you can have various companies and your holding companies, and they sink in very complex transactions, and they can be doing various things. But this seems to have been specifically a concealment exercise. Now, beyond that concealment exercise, you also have this coded language that appears in some of the messages. You have references to the big guy and to the chairman and avoiding his name. And that adds an extra layer of secrecy. Now, we have Bublinski there who explains to us who this person is. And in fact, it's obvious that it's Joe Biden. But at least to me, it's obvious that it's Joe Biden. And Bublinski explains that. But it seems to me that this is ultimately the purpose of all of this. Now, take a step back. Joe Biden is a politician. He's a very important politician in the United States. He has been a senator. He has been the vice president of the United States. He now aspires to be the candidate for the presidency in this election. Should he be involved? Should such a person who aims for elected office be hiding, concealing his identity in all these transactions through this complex layer of shell companies and through coded language in emails? And should he also be, through his son, involved with his son in a structure which is clearly intended to circumvent US legislation? To be absolutely clear about this, the Chinese government will know exactly who the American parties to these transactions are, because this Chinese company and Chairman Yi are, of course, not going to conceal anything from the Chinese government. But the US government, of which all of these people are citizens, and of which Joe Biden himself, as I said, has been a senior elected official and aspires to be a senior elected, the most senior elected official in the future, they are working through creating this complicated structure of shell companies and code names to conceal who they are and what they're doing from the US government. So that, it seems to me, is what this whole structure is all about. And should somebody in Joe Biden's position be doing that sort of thing? I would have said not.
Yeah, this screams for an audit. And absolutely. I'm sure there is going to be a professional audit. I would imagine there's going to be a professional audit because, like you said, you have a lot of, you have a shell company under a shell company under a shell company. And there's no doubt that they knew that they were up to no good. From the one side, you have messages from Hunter Biden signaling the need to create more shell companies in order to avoid the U.S. government looking into the money that will be invested, i.e. from CFC or the Chinese government in that case into the U.S. So Hunter Biden was well aware that they would need to conceal a lot of the investment in the business that was taking place. You also had an incident that Bob Linsky highlighted in the interview with Tucker Carlson, where he was with Joe's brother, Jim, and they were at this Milken conference. And this Milken conference is actually where he met Joe Biden for the first time. He met him twice, actually. The second time was a brief conversation where Joe was just kind of like, look after, you know, my son and my brother, just keep an eye out on things, because Bob Linsky was going to be the CEO and running everything. But the first meeting at the Milken conference was actually more of a vetting. In other words, they wanted to vet Bob Linsky, and in order to vet him, you have to go to the godfather-like figure of the family, which in this case was Joe Biden. But at the Milken conference, Bob Linsky was speaking with Jim Biden, and Bob Linsky, you know, he understood that they were up to some very risky things, because, you know, you're going to have politicians, the former vice president, his brother, his son, involved with a company that literally is a heartbeat away from the Chinese government. And, you know, Bob Linsky understood that. And I think his instinct kicked in, his business instinct, because he is a very successful businessman, from what I understand, very wealthy businessman as well. And he asked Jim Biden, you know, aren't you worried about this? I'm paraphrasing, you know, let me find the quote. He says, you're taking political risk or headline risk to engage in such unseemly business dealings. And, you know, Jim Biden said, how can we do this? Jim Biden said, well, simple, plausible deniability.
Which is comes exactly to the point that I made in the, you know, in response to your first answer. This is all about creating plausible deniability. In other words, concealing who is involved and what they're doing. I mean, concealing, if in effect, it seems, Joe Biden's 10% stake within Jim Biden's 20% stake. I mean, things like that. And can I just say, I mean, you know, this also begs some important questions. I would have thought of tax law, all sorts of things. I mean, I don't want to rush to conclusions or you know, preempt investigations, but I completely agree with what you said, by the way. This cries out for an audit, and it cries out for somebody to really look into it and go through all these figures and understand exactly what was going on and ask all these people exactly what they were up to. Because we've got Bablinski's account, but we need also the accounts of all the others. But let's come now to this meeting between Bablinski and Joe Biden. Joe Biden has said categorically that he had no involvement, no knowledge of, his son's business activities, that he didn't know what Hunter Biden was doing. Well, Bublinski has now flat out contradicted that. He has shown that Joe Biden not only was intimately involved in those activities and appears to have been a beneficiary of those activities, but that he was actually meeting people like Bublinski, telling them, and this was very godfatherish, to look after his brother and son. I mean, that's a very, very strange comment to say. I mean, you know, look after, and apparently to vet him. So clearly, Joe Biden is extremely well informed, or was extremely well informed, about Hunter Biden's activities and was extremely involved in them. At the very least, he was meeting with Hunter Biden's business associates, Bublinski in this case, probably vetting them and telling them to look after, to watch out for his brother and son. Probably, almost certainly, and that's certainly how I would interpret this conversation, it meant an awful lot more than that. And that's clearly what Bublinski thought. And interestingly enough, it's interesting that Bublinski has been extremely careful to keep track of all of these transactions and to keep a careful, document everything and keep careful records. Shows, by the way, a good businessman. Because clearly he was becoming very uneasy. And that's why he goes and directly asks Jim Biden, you know, what is going on? What's all this about? Are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure what Joe Biden, you aren't putting Joe Biden at risk? And of course, he gets this extraordinary answer. Well, we're not bothered because provided we can plausibly deny what is going on, then we're fine. I mean, that's the kind of thing, by the way, that countries, states which carry out, various covert operations like to say that they have plausible deniability so that they can deny them. We all know that that's what's really happening, but provided we can spin a story which we can, make up, we can hide behind that story and no one will very much care. That's what it's basically saying. It's an extraordinarily arrogant comment and a very, very, very disturbing one, given the sort of people we are talking about. The other thing I was going to say is you talked about the family, the Biden family. I mean, it was most interesting that one of the expressions used by the members of that family to discuss the family and what it is they refer to it as a brand. It's not just a family, it is also a brand. And it seems that this brand, because the nature of a brand is that it is marketed and the people know about it, is that quite a lot of people presumably know about this brand. And of course, that brand is directly connected to the person at the top. You called him the godfather, the big guy, all those euphemisms, the chairman, Joe Biden himself.
Yeah. Before we get to Yi, and we're going to talk about Chairman Yi, who he is. As we said, he's a mysterious guy. We'll talk about CFC, which is now no longer. We'll talk about Rosneft, a meeting that Xi Jinping had with Putin. And Chairman Yi was in Moscow as well, and they were closing a very big deal with Rosneft. We'll get into that. We'll close out the video with that line as well, because we want to provide more context as to who these people are. Everyone can, of course, see the Tucker interview, and they can get all the information from there. But, we want to add some more context to the story instead of just, repeating what Tucker gave us. We do know that Bublinski was actively working as a CEO to seed this Sinohawk company with $10 million that was going to come, the investment of $10 million that was going to come from CFC. So that was the initial seed capital. That was the first investment that was going to come. Long story short, none of this ever really materialized. Oneida Holdings, Sinohawk getting the seed money from CFC, this $10 million. But fast forward to 2020 and you get a Senate report. And that Senate report has various wire transactions. And Boblinsky reads the Senate report, as you and I read that Senate report, and lo and behold, he finds out that from China, it looks like Hunter Biden and this Biden family, this Biden brand, got $5 million from these CFC guys. And a light bulb, I think, went on in Tony Boblinsky's head, you know, boop, right there. That light bulb went on. And he realized that he had been double-crossed. So he was thinking that they were going to put $10 million into this Sinohawk company and they were going to be a real business. They were going to be in business, you know, start operating. But at the end of the day, what it looks like is that the Bidens just seem to have pocketed a $5 million direct into their family brand and then another $5 million into other companies so that they could do other things with the initial seed money that was supposed to be $10 million. And after the Senate report, you have Adam Schiff getting on, I think it was CNN. Yes, it was CNN. And to start to say that all the people that were in on this initial deal outside of the Bidens, guys like Boblinsky, were actually Kremlin assets. And the information that the Senate had, and I'm paraphrasing everything, I'm shortening it all up, the information that the Senate had was courtesy of Russian assets and Kremlin stooges like Boblinsky. Boblinsky gets upset. One, he was screwed out of the money. He was pushed out of this deal, screwed out of money. Number two, he's all of a sudden being branded a Russian asset. So he gets on the phone with the Biden consigliere, Rod Walker, and he provides Tucker Carlson an audio recording. And that audio recording is pretty much Boblinsky saying, if Adam Schiff does not take back what he said about me and how he's defamed my family name, I'm going to go public with everything I have. Walker's reply to Boblinsky, and I quote directly, was, you'll bury all of us. Everyone has either heard that audio message, or if you haven't, go to the Tucker Carlson interview and you will be able to hear that audio message. Alexander, what do you make of everything that went on there?
Well, can I first of all start with the transaction? I mean, it is, if I can say, the typical, I'm going to use the word con. I'm not suggesting necessarily that there's anything criminal about this, but it's pretty sordid. I mean, you get somebody, a decent, honorable, hardworking businessman. He does all the hard work for you. He establishes the contacts. You then manage to sort of cut him out, pretending the thing isn't working. And then you use all the work he's done to carry on with your own operation with the same partners. I've seen this in my work time after time. I mean, I've seen business people, real business people, misused and abused in this way to an extraordinary degree. And by the way, it very often results in court action because this kind of thing is completely illicit. And usually, I mean, contracts have been breached and agreements have been breached and you name it. And I'm sure Mr. Boblinsky is the kind of person, as I said, who keeps careful records and has it all there and he knows exactly what he's doing. Moreover, who do you do it with? You do it with this Chinese company in the Chinese energy sector, a strategic sector for China. Very, very, you know, something that the Chinese government is taking great stakes, huge interest in, and which, of course, as you said, is a heartbeat away from the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese government. I mean, we're going to talk about Chairman Yi in a moment, but unquestionably, there will be people on the Chinese Politburo who know him. I mean, we may be uncertain about some of his details, but the gentlemen on the Politburo and on the Politburo Standing Committee in Beijing know exactly who he is, because that's the kind of company that is. So that is the first thing. And then, of course, what happened is that, you know, having basically cut Mr. Boblinsky out and made a fool of him, there is this Senate report, and then he, of course, finds out how they have tricked him. And he does what people often do in this situation. He speaks to, as you correctly say, the consigliere, the man who, the bag man, if you like, the legal bag man. And it's a remarkable call. And it was, again, interesting that Bublinski, who by this point, clearly his trust in these people had completely evaporated, was making careful records of that call so that we were able to hear what was said. But, you know, you hear this hesitant man at the other end saying, "You're going to bury us." Well, of course you're going to bury us, because this is awful. It's awful at so many levels. It's awful that they conned Mr. Bublinski in the way that they did con him. I mean, that's, even if they broke no laws, even if this is a civil claim that's there, I mean, it is so ugly and sordid, and dare I say it, sordid in such a commonplace way in business. By the way, if you behave like this in business, it's the way that utterly destroys trust in you. Business people who behave like this in the business world, they lose all credibility if they do it eventually. So anyway, it's so sordid and ugly. It's horrible in that respect. But it's also horrible given the kind of people you are dealing with, which is, as I said, the Chinese authorities, and given the elaborate way that you were trying to conceal the fact from the US authorities and the American people. And of course, that concealment was continuing even afterwards, with Joe Biden telling everybody, "Well, I absolutely know nothing about my son's business affairs," when, of course, he's meeting with Bublinski, possibly vetting him, telling him to look after his brother and son. So, I mean, the whole thing is terrible. It is absolutely shocking. And what do you then do when you get in this kind of trouble? Well, you call on Adam Schiff, your bulldog, you're not just, he's not a bulldog, but I mean, he's a sort of pit bull terrier, as we would say in England. And he comes, and what does he do? Russia, Russia, Russia. And that's where I think, as I said, Tucker Carlson was so right to bring Bublinski onto this program, because he came across to me as an all-American guy. When I say that, I mean that in the best sense. Utterly decent, completely straightforward, a true and legitimate businessman, as you said, a very, very capable businessman, calling this deeply patriotic American who has served in the US military a Russian asset, and claiming that he's in some way involved in some sort of disinformation exercise, is so ludicrous. It is so nonsensical that, frankly, only the American media and a couple of tech companies and a couple of bent intelligence officers would take it seriously. I mean, it is nonsense. It is grossly, to me, it's libelous, frankly. It's a libelous thing to say that Bublinski is some sort of Kremlin agent. And notice that it has not been retracted. So we have all this information. We have all this information there. You can decide whom you believe. Do you believe Mr. Bublinski, as I said, an American, a person who served in the armed forces of the United States, a US businessman, a successful businessman, somebody who has all this information, as he pointed out, by the way, all this paperwork, all these documents, all these recordings, all of these emails and messages, or do you believe Adam Schiff? Well, for me, it's not just no contest. Even the question is risible. Of course you don't believe Adam Schiff, who has been telling one piece of nonsense and a lie after another ever since Donald Trump was elected president and even before.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible, because Bublinski gave them an out in a way. He says, just retract what you guys said about me. And, you know, I guess he was saying, I'm just going to go about my merry way. Just retract what you said about me. And they didn't do it.
They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because if they did it, then that would have given traction. That would have started. Their shield now, their only shield. And remember, Bublinski is only one source. I mean, this is very important. important source because, as you said in a previous broadcast, he is an actual physical witness to these activities. But if they stop talking about Russia and talking about Russian disinformation, then, of course, this whole story comes out because there isn't any reason not to let it come out then. So they carry on with this Russian disinformation nonsense. And, of course, as a result, they smear people like Mr. Bublinski, who doesn't like it at all, and nor should he. It's an outrageous thing to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're talking about Russia. There is a Russian angle in all of this, but it's on the side of the Bidens. So,
a fascinating one. I mean, anyway, let's yeah. press on. So there's a very interesting twist here, by the way.
Yeah, there is an interesting twist. So I'm on the site Russia Business Today. I don't know this site. I mean, it looks legit. But the only reason I'm on it is because
I believe it is legit. Anyway, carry on. Okay.
The only reason I'm on is because I just want to read you a little bit about Yi. Very, very short passage. Here it is. The rise of Yi, Chairman Yi, once again, Chairman Yi of CFC. The rise of Yi, a mysterious figure, and his company has drawn attention even in China, where rags-to-riches stories are common. Within barely 5 years, the merchant from the southeastern province of Fujian has emerged from obscurity to become head of the country's fourth largest oil conglomerate and amount a $42.5 billion treasure. Yi has made headlines for his aggressive acquisitions abroad. He is particularly active in the Czech Republic, buying into Czech brewery Pivovary Lobkowicz Group, the travel service airline, and soccer club SK Slavia Prague. That is Chairman Yi. And the reason it's on a Russia business site is because, and I'm pulling this from Reuters, an article in Reuters from 3 years ago, March 22nd, 2018. The title reads, China's CFC investigation hits $9 billion Russian oil deal. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that this obscure, mysterious figure, Chairman Yi, who went from nothing to a net worth of $42 billion, was with Xi Jinping on a trip to Moscow to meet Putin, and he was doing business on the side. The business that he was involved in was buying a 14% stake in Rosneft, the giant Russian energy company. The deal fell through. To be more precise, Alexander, a 14.16% stake. That's what they were looking to get from the Russian state oil firm. That was Chairman Yi. The deal fell apart. Chairman Yi, all of a sudden, was under investigation by the Chinese government. He's disappeared. CFC is no more. That company has also disappeared. Alexander.
Well, of course, so much we don't know here. But let's talk about Mr. Chairman Yi. I mean, somebody who is someone without a very detailed backstory, who rises very fast, becomes the apparent chief of this huge oil company or energy company, which has emerged so rapidly and become so big and acquiring all these foreign assets, and who accompanies Xi Jinping in foreign visits to Russia, meetings with Putin. This person is almost certainly something to do with the Chinese governmental system. I mean, he must be. Now, China is a complicated country. It is not a straightforward free market economy, to put it mildly. I mean, there are real, genuine Chinese business people. There are Chinese business people who work very hard, work very honestly, build big, huge sometimes businesses, and you know who they are, and we know some of their names. But there are also, alongside those kind of businesses, there are these para-businesses that aren't really businesses, but are really constructs of the Chinese government, which are basically there in order to fulfill a particular objective of the Chinese government. I mean, they, and the people who are in charge of them are not really businessmen in any conventional sense. They are placeholders. They have a job, which is to do what the Chinese government tells them. They may be making a lot of money on the side. Some of them may be very corrupt. It has happened. Some of them may, in the end, overstep that and find themselves in trouble with the Chinese government. But they are not real businessmen in any sense that people in the West would understand. Everything points to Chairman Yi being that kind of person. So when the Bidens were dealing with Chairman Yi, they were dealing with someone who, at a sort of para level, a para state level, if you like, was part of the Chinese para state system. He was not an independent businessman. His company was not an independent business. It was a business created by the Chinese government, all appearances, a private business, but in reality, as I said, a state-controlled business, of which he was the placeholder, in a strategic sector. And this was the person the Bidens were dealing with and continued to deal with after they cut Bublinski out. Now, let's get on to Rosneft. Rosneft is the Russian state oil company. It's one of the big crown jewels of the Russian economic system. It controls by far the largest share of Russian oil assets. I remember a certain document called the Steele dossier. Remember that? In which Carter Page, remember him, was accused of being involved in some kind of shady dealing with the Kremlin. And his reward was that he was going to be cut a big share of Rosneft. An absurd and ridiculous story. Here, in a issue where the Bidens are tangentially connected, we have an actual transaction or attempted transaction in which a Chinese businessman, or rather Chinese company or para company with which the Bidens have dealings, is in fact trying to get possession of a stake in Rosneft. What you have in the Steele dossier is fiction. What we have in this case is documented fact. I remember that transaction when the Chinese tried to gain a stake in Rosneft. And I remember how uneasy many people in Russia were about it. And I remember how it all fell apart. Well, it is so interesting to learn how it is coming up now.
Okay, so let's wrap it up here with one more interesting fact, and we don't have the answer to this, but let's spitball it a little. So I'm on Reuters again, the same article, and CFC, this energy company, as they were trying to get this 14.16% stake in Rosneft, it was more of a consortium. It was Rosneft, but it's a consortium including a Swiss trader called Glencore. So, okay, these are complicated business deals.
Can I just say, Glencore is, this is quite openly, it's a Swiss company, but it has Russian, a large Russian stake in it. So it's a complicated system, but it's, anyway, as you say, it's a consortium. Glencore is more into pipelines and things. Okay. Rosneft just extracts the oil. Glencore supplies it, if you like.
Right. So they're looking to get, CFC is looking to get a 14.16 stake in the whole thing, right? The whole business, right? So here's let me just read you from Reuters. CFC China Energy was buying a 14.16 stake from a consortium, including Swiss trader Glencore, It had transferred the first tranche of payment before it ceased all communications, In other words, Reuters is saying here, the source has told Reuters. Reuters is saying that CFC ceased communication all of a sudden, but it had paid a first tranche. The sources declined to say how much had been paid. One said the fact some money has changed hands would make it more difficult for any party to back out of the deal. CFC founder and chairman Yi was put under investigation by Chinese authorities over suspected economic crimes, Reuters reported at the beginning of March, and he will step down from his position at the firm. Rosneft representatives have since traveled to China, but failed to get any update from CFC on the stake acquisition deal, according to the sources. Quote, the other party, CFC, has just vanished, one source said.
So there we go. I mean, this is what happens in China. I mean, you know, sometimes every so often someone disappears. This is what's happened. Now, we don't know why. I mean, maybe he's, as I said, we bear in mind what I said. This is not, he's not a conventional businessman, whoever he is. He may be the victim of a power struggle. He may have been found by the Chinese authorities to have been heavily involved in some corrupt activities. That happens. And Xi Jinping is known to have a no-tolerance approach to people who do that. But whatever it is, he's no longer there. The friend of the Bidens.
Yeah, and Russians actually went, the Russian representatives, according to Reuters, went to China to look for him and
couldn't find him.
And so, you know, there's a lot of questions that need answering. But one thing's for sure, the Bidens were, I think they were completely compromised. And Bobulinski says it in the interview with Tucker Carlson. He says there's no way that Joe Biden can be president because he is completely compromised. And I think this whole Chairman Yi thing and everything we've just outlined now in our final segments is proof to that. The Bidens, from Joe to Jim to Hunter to Rod Walker to James Gilliar, all these people, I think they were getting completely played by the Chinese government. I don't know. That's my hunch.
No, of course they were. That's exactly what they were. I mean, they were being completely played by the Chinese government. Can I just say something? I mean, the very fact that the Chinese government, through this company, were reaching out, or at least maybe not reaching out, but were prepared to deal with the Bidens and went on dealing with the Bidens and transferred money. We don't, you know, completely understand for what or why or what was going on there, because, of course, these are things that have not been really explained. But, you know, the fact is, given the kind of entity that we're talking about, given the kind of person that Chairman Yi unquestionably was, as I said, a para-state official, perhaps a corrupt one, possibly an intelligence officer. I mean, that's highly likely. Of course, the Chinese have got a huge amount of compromising material now about the Bidens. I come back to what we I said at the very beginning of this broadcast in answer to your first question. All this incredibly intricate structure that was created to conceal the involvement of the Bidens from the US authorities might have been successful, but the Chinese authorities would always have known, because the partner, the Chinese partner, is a parastate body controlled by the Chinese government themselves. So an elected official and his family were dealing with China and were trying to conceal it from the authorities of the United States. And afterwards, and this is where Joe Biden comes in, he comes along and says, I knew nothing about my son's business activities. We have a witness, Mr. Bobulinski, who says otherwise. And then when that is exposed, he gets, as I said, his pet, whatever, Adam Schiff to come along and talk about Russia disinformation, in the process smearing or libeling Mr. Bobulinski, a deeply patriotic American former military officer, someone with an unimpeachable reputation and a businessman. So there we are, a fascinating tale, and one which, in a way, takes us, by the way, to the very highest geopolitical level. Because, as I said, if Chairman Yi is dealing with the Bidens and is dealing also in his own way with Putin and with Rosneft and meeting people like Igor Sechin, who is the extremely powerful chairman of Rosneft, which he must have been, and, you know, is accompanying Xi Jinping on his travels and then disappears. We're looking at a, you know, this is very, very high politics indeed. This is a level where, you know, world economies have changed. Let me put it like that.
Well, let me wrap it all up, Alexander, with the icing on the cake here. According to Breitbart, and according to all the information now that we have from Bob Linsky and from the Tucker Carlson interview, and everything that we've just gone into detail about with regards to Chairman Yi, CFC, Rosneft, this deal, Yi disappearing, Hunter Biden's involvement, Jim Biden, Joe Biden, according to Breitbart, Hunter Biden, the son of former Vice President Joe Biden, allegedly acted as the personal attorney for Yi Yanming, the chair of a major Chinese energy firm, in a deal to buy 14% stake in a Russian state oil company facing U.S. sanctions. Bublitsky recalled that in July 2017, Chinese Premier Xi Jinping was in Moscow for meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Bublitsky recalled that he was shocked to learn of CFC's interests in Russia, which placed Sinohawk in a precarious position. Your final words, Alexander, before you wrap this up.
Well, there you go. So that you come back to what I said. Poor Mr. Carter Page, alleged to have been involved with the Russians, surveyed by the FBI, illegal FISA warrants against him, implicated in Russiagate, which we now know is a complete fiction, and a story spun about him by Christopher Steele that he was being offered stakes in Rosneft, which is absolute and complete nonsense. And Hunter Biden, apparently acting as the personal attorney of Chairman Yi, who is actually trying to get involved in a consortium, 14% stake with Rosneft. So, I mean, there's the contrast. One story all over the media. As I said, man is placed under obsessive surveillance by the FBI. He's dragged before congressional committees. He's interrogated by the FBI many times. Well, who is that? It's not Hunter Biden. It's poor Carter Page, who was completely innocent and who was the victim of, frankly, a fabrication invented by somebody in the pay of Hillary Clinton. Hunter Biden actually implicated or involved in a genuine attempted transaction involving Rosneft, which, as Bublitsky correctly says, is a sanctioned company, and its CEO, Mr. Sechin, who is an extremely powerful man in Russia, is also, by the way, a sanctioned individual. Hunter Biden, he is still there, he's still free, and his father is still campaigning to be nominated, to be elected president of the United States. Seems that one law applies to you if you're a Republican. That law even applies if you're innocent. And if you're a Democrat, no law applies, even if you're guilty.
I wonder if all of this has, this was in 2018, my first question is, we have so much to cover, but anyway, no. Number one, is Hunter Biden qualified to be the personal attorney of CFC and of the chairman of CFC Energy in a deal to buy Rosneft, a massive, massive oil and energy company? Number one, is he even remotely qualified to advise on such matters? That's my first thing. Real quick, so I can get this thought out. Could this have had something to do with Trump-China trade war and the Chinese government realizing Chairman Yi, Hunter Biden, What do you guys, what's the connection here? What's going on here? Where are we heading towards? Now we have a trade war with the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. We need to dissolve this whole thing for some reason. I don't know. Once again, I'm just throwing stuff out there. This is really, really strange stuff going on here. The timing of all of this. Very strange stuff going on. There's a reason the Chinese government decided to vanish everything.
Absolutely. Well, two things to say straight away. Firstly, Hunter Biden does not have the legal abilities to act as the personal attorney of Chairman Yi, the chairman of a giant Chinese conglomerate, which is controlled by the Chinese government, in a transaction with Rosneft. He's not familiar with Russian law. He's not familiar with Chinese law. He's never carried out transactions of this scale and complexity. The idea is an absurd one. In fact, in reality, you wouldn't just need one lawyer. You'd need armies of them to finalize a deal like this. And, well, I mean, we've seen pictures of Hunter Biden. We've heard about other things. It's known that he has a history of, you know, substance abuse. It is just impossible to imagine that he was, in fact, involved in this in any kind of shape or form, because he has the abilities, the legal skills to do it. He was there for some other reason, and we don't quite know what that reason was, but he was definitely there for some other reason. And as to your second question, I've said already that Chairman Yi almost certainly is at least a parastate official of the Chinese government, quite possibly an intelligence, somebody involved in Chinese intelligence. The fact that he has disappeared in the way that he has is the product, unquestionably, of a political decision. Someone at the very highest level of the Chinese government, and when I say the highest level of the Chinese government, I mean the Politburo and the Standing Committee of the Politburo, and quite probably Xi Jinping himself, took the decision that he needed to be disappeared. Now, you know, when I say disappeared, he may be alive and well and doing all kinds of things safely under a different name, but clearly the Yi, Chairman Yi, that we've all known about, is somebody who is no longer needed or wanted by the Chinese government and is seen as an embarrassment to them in some way. So that's what I'd say about that. So to answer your question, definitely Hunter Biden did not have those skills. And secondly, I don't know the whole story. It's probably connected, quite possibly connected with the trade war, but certainly the decision to call this whole thing off points to a political decision.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's something going on in the politics and the geopolitics of all of this between China, Russia, and China and the U.S. Because you had the Chinese-Russian deal. You had this deal that Trump and Xi were working on, this trade deal that the U.S. and China were working on. And you have this CFC, which is suddenly connected to the former vice president of the United States through his son. And all of a sudden in 2018-19, it all vanishes, all of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's very strange. And as I said, that doesn't happen, as I said, without certainly a deal of that nature, which is a strategic deal in a strategic area for China. I mean, the Chinese are very anxious to develop connections with Russian oil and gas producers, because they want to import oil from Russia and import oil and gas from Russia so that they don't become connected any longer in sea trade, which might be vulnerable to interference by the US. So this is a strategic issue for them, a very important strategic issue. So what was Hunter Biden doing in the middle of all of this? I mean, this is, as I said, the land of the giants, if I may say. So the idea of Hunter Biden, you know, being involved as a lawyer in this land of the giants. And, you know, here we see Chairman Yi, he's the person that he's been dealing with. He just disappears. And that, you know, that tells you again, the incredibly high stakes in which Hunter Biden and the Bidens were playing. Something went on. We don't know the whole story, but I'm sure this repays investigation. But if you want a Chinese connection and you want a Russian connection, well, there is one and it involves the Bidens. There's never been one involving Donald Trump.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll end it there. Just guys, go PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, star, Durant Shop. That's it. We'll leave it there. This was a long video. We had a lot to cover.
There you go. Flag of the United States on one of our mugs.
Flag of Greece. Greece is not involved in any of this, but you know, it's a nice mug. No. All right. All right, guys, take care.